It's Friday, February 27th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Hey, everyone, I got a great show lined up for you tonight. And yes, this is the last night before I pack up and head out to Japan, but I got a great show for you. So strap in, because guess what? Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central Podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii, from the Geek News Central Studio overlooking Greater Oahu. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Todd Cochran. Make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Of course, check out the archive podcast available via the podcast link. For those of you that are new to the show, make sure you sign up for our newsletter so you get the newsletter delivered directly to your inbox immediately following the show. Well, I tell you what, it's been a very, very eventful week here, and I've got some news for you. I'll share that with you in just a moment. But for those of you that are new to the show, hey, this is primarily an audio podcast, and the high percentage of the audience, 99.999% of the audience, gets the show via either a iTunes download, Zune Marketplace, wherever it may be, using the RSS feed. So subscribe to our RSS feed in your favorite podcatcher. And of course, those of you that are part of the Ohana, part of the longtime listeners of the show, I want to welcome you all back to the podcast. And I got a lot of stuff. Well, let me start out with the interesting thing. At least it's been interesting for me in that Wednesday. Actually, what night was it? No, it was Tuesday night. I got home, and my lovely wife was saying to me, "Honey, the fish pond needs cleaning." And so all of you know I have koi here. So I went out and drained the pond and scrubbed the pond out and was finishing up with that. And some of the water that had gotten on the on my deck from draining the pond was sitting there, and I walked onto the deck and slipped and fell. And those of you that have been listening to the show since we started back in 2004 will know that back in 2004 I hurt my back severely overseas. Matter of fact, I had a burst compression fracture of my L1 vertebrae back in 2004, and today I have metal rods and some screws back there keeping that vertebrae isolated. Well, as I lay on the ground in water, panting in pain, thinking to myself, did I just buy myself another trip to the hospital in the for the surgeon's knife? I laid there for about 10 minutes. Of course, my wife has asked me, do I need to call an ambulance? But I'm trying to assess my injury. And essentially, I injured myself almost the same way I fell, the same way in which I hurt myself the very first time back in 2004. And so after much consideration and basically kind of testing the waters and rolling around a little bit and seeing how I felt, I decided to go ahead and try to stand up. And I did so, but boy, I knew that I was going to be in for a very rough few days. Now, I'm recording this show Thursday night, and it is still one of those very rough days. I am still in extreme pain. I went to the doctor Thursday morning, and he basically loaded me up with prescription medicines and specific orders not to lift stuff. And so I've been on my back for 2 days. So really tonight, this show is really the first time I've been up and around in the past couple of days. And so far, so good. But I've got to get on an airplane tomorrow morning to go to Japan. There's just no ifs, buts, or anything. I have to go. Now, fortunately, I have a business class seat on United. I was able to catch an upgrade earlier when I booked the ticket. So at least I'll be able to have a comfortable chair going across the pond. And it's just one of those things I kind of have to work my way through over the next couple of days. But, you know, it's just one of those things. Got complacent. So I am definitely feeling it. And if you on Ustream kind of watch me squirming around a little bit, you'll know that the reason why. But I'm expecting the arrival of Andy. Andy is the cameraman from CES 2009. He's going to stop by the house. He arrived here in Honolulu Wednesday night, and he's going to come in and hang out here in the office a little bit with me, and we're going to chat a little bit. So I wanted to get the show under the road here before it got too late tonight. So the show's actually starting very, very early Honolulu time. But we're going to give that Pogo plug away. We've had some entries from people sending in their submissions on the Pogo plug giveaway. So we'll give away Pogo plug device a little later. I am all packed up and ready to go. So I guess that's the very important part. Now, what I'm going to do today is we're just going to give the Pogo plug away very, very early in the show. And I want to congratulate Dale. And Dale, you're going to have to, Dale Taylor from Lodi, California. Congratulations. You are our Pogo plug winner. And as soon as my two Pogo plugs arrive, I will send you one of those. So I expect delivery of those sometime in March. So congratulations from Dale Taylor, one of our longtime listeners here of the show, for winning the Pogo plug device. And we'll be giving away more stuff like this as we move through the upcoming months, as we move closer to show number 500. But, of course, all this stuff would not be possible without our sponsors. Let me take care of a little business here, and then we'll get right into the content. Of course, GoDaddy.com. If you're looking for a domain name, dedicated server, virtual dedicated server, an SSL certificate, whatever it may be, when you get over to GoDaddy.com and you pick up your products and services, when you get to that checkout counter, you can use the promo code TODD. That'll save you 10% on your order. Geek5 will save you 15% on orders $20 or more. Todd20 will save you 20% on 1 year shared hosting account. So that's a good one. And then we'll have some additional ones. Now, if you're renewing domains, ComSale, especially if you're renewing .coms, ComSale will save you some money on renewals, or if you pick something up at an auction. Now, as you all know, I use GoToMeeting quite a bit. And even while I've been on my back here the last couple of days, I've had my laptop open, and I actually did a couple of conference calls where actually someone else did the driving in a GoToMeeting session, and I kind of followed along and nodded and was verbal to them, even though I was sitting there medicated up by a doctor's prescription. And it worked out well. But if you spend too much time driving or flying to meet clients in person, stop letting travel costs eat away at your bottom line. Do more and travel less with GoToMeeting, brought to you by Citrix. GoToMeeting lets you launch sales presentations, product demos, or training sessions right from your computer. It's like meeting in person, but less expensive, less time-consuming. Meet from your office, home, or hotel room. Anytime, anywhere, try GoToMeeting free right now for 30 days. For this special offer, you must visit www.goToMeeting.com/techpodcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/techpodcast for a free trial. So as we continue through the show here, I'm almost positive that Andy is going to get close to my house, and he is going to require a set of directions on how to get into the location. Although I think he's pretty well dialed in where we're at. So I could see that happening mid-show today. So if the phone rings here, or my cell phone rings, and I have to take a call, those of you on Ustream, hang out. The rest of you that are on, listening to the podcast, you'll probably never hear it because I'll probably edit it out later. So as always, hey, you guys can follow me on Twitter. I'm Geek News, GEEKNEWS on Twitter. Facebook, I'm on there. Just search for Todd Cochran. You can find me on Facebook. As always, on today's show, if you have comments on today's show, geeknews@gmail.com is the email address. The voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. For those of you outside of the United States, that's +1-619-342-7365. 312-342-7365. Hey, I want to talk about a little experiment I'm going to do this time when I'm on the road. I'm going to use my Skype in number, and which I don't necessarily publicize, but I'm going to take my cell phone and I'm going to forward it to my Skype in number and see how well that works in getting calls forwarded to me while I'm in Japan. Now, I was notified by the folks I'm going over there to work with that I may not have as good of internet connectivity on this 12-day trip, which gets me a little stressed out. So we'll have to see how it goes. So the show, I'm planning on doing the show like normal when I'm in Japan. Connectivity may be an issue from time to time, and in basically the travel times between where I'm staying and where I'm going to be consulting and doing some work is about an hour. So we'll have to see how this goes. If I miss a show, don't worry. I'm still alive. I'm just probably dealing with connectivity issues. But nonetheless, I'll be back here in Honolulu on the 12th. On the 12th of March, and ready, raring to go on the following shows. But I plan on doing a normal show schedule while I'm gone, released at about the normal time. So just keep an eye out, and I'll try to keep you advised either via the newsletter on what's going on, or of course over at on the website itself at geeknewscentral.com. I've got a stack of stuff for you tonight. Really easy to find some good news tonight. For some reason, it's unlike recent Thursday or Friday morning shows, whereas the news was thin, but tonight the news is good. I'm going to start right off with an article out of techradar.com, and it's an article about Windows 7, a Windows 7 feature that is forthcoming, where they have announced that Windows 7 is going to contain some native ability to watch .mov files. Now, this is pretty huge because up to this point, in order to watch .mov files, you have had to have loaded QuickTime. And if you wanted to do any of those, any additional stuff with those files, you've had to, basically maybe buy the pro version. But at this point, the support is going to be added to a Windows Media Player to natively support the .mov files. Now, they're not saying whether or not it's going to be .mp4, .m4v, all those other formats, but at least the .mov format is going to be supported in Windows 7, which is big. Hey, I found a pretty cool picture today. This is provided on the NASA website. It's a picture of a Saturn rocket on the pad on the way to basically its launch area. And what I found very fascinating about this picture was this is a very early day NASA. You can see where they have construction is essentially just finished in order to bring the Saturn rocket out to the launch pad. So I think you guys would get a kick out of this black and white picture. Show some very early day pictures out at Kennedy. All right, over it on the website lostintechnology.com, I found an article that talks about five alternatives to the Twitter interface. Now, many of you probably go to twitter.com and just do a Twitter right on the website, or you use maybe a third-party application to send those tweets. But I've always, thought that the interface was pretty weak over there. And they turned me on here to a couple of sites, and the one that I like a lot is called Tweetvisor. And It has a lot of cool features that you don't see on the regular Twitter page. So Tweetvisor is a good one. iTweet's another. Hootsuite. And then Tweettree is another. I don't particularly care for Tweettree. Depends on if you like stuff organized in kind of a organized stack. But some pretty cool little applications here for you to play around with. And I have that link, of course, up in the show notes for you. There is news that the folks over at Dig are working on a toolbar to go after StumbleUpon. Now, what I find fascinating about StumbleUpon is that before, a majority of my traffic to my website was, a percentage of it was Google searches, and then all the other search engines, and then people coming in that were regular subscribers via RSS, a lot of stuff to the podcast feed. But every once in a while, I get this huge surge, and I mean, a huge surge, maybe like 25,000 page loads on a single day from StumbleUpon. And for some reason, they just cue in on some, and it's really weird because some of the articles that they link up to and people are clicking on are like articles that I wrote over a year ago or stuff that's been on the website for a while. It's not like it's new stuff. So Dig is working on a toolbar to compete with StumbleUpon, but I think they're after two completely different I think it's going to be two completely different target audiences. First of all, how many of us submit all of our articles to Dig? I don't submit hardly anything to Dig. Matter of fact, maybe I've submitted two or three things to Dig over the lifetime that Dig's been online. And people generally don't submit stuff from my website to Dig. Now, I know that I think there's some sort of quote-unquote social rules where you're not supposed to submit your own articles to Dig, and they frown upon it. So I guess that's probably the reason why I've never done it. But the StumbleUpon has been – I don't know how they get their index of articles that they look for. Maybe someone finds something and suggests it. I don't know. I haven't looked at it that deep. But on Dig, you know, what's going to end up happening is – all the sites that are always listed, the you know the top 10 or 20 tech sites, will always get the majority of the traffic from this this Dig toolbar. You know, just because even though many of those sites aren't reporting something on initially, by sheer volume of the people that read those sites, they seem to always work themselves to the top of the results, even though someone may have submitted something earlier that was related or exactly the same, or maybe even, you know, for example, TechCrunch. They write a lot of articles that come from other sites. So does Gizmodo and Engadget. Well, is it fair that Gizmodo gets all the traffic for an article that was written on another website as the originator? No, but it happens. So we'll see what happens with this toolbar. And those of you that are Dig fans, I'd love to hear what you guys think about the idea behind this toolbar, whether or not you think it's a good idea or not. And we'll have to see how it works out, but pretty good write-up on it over on TechCrunch. All right, next article up today is from the website over at livescience.com, and a kind of an informational type of an article. It talks about a footprint that they have found that was embedded in, what is it actually embedded in? The findings at a northern Kenya site, which it's basically a footprint that they found embedded in rock or something. I don't know exactly how they uncovered this, but they did the carbon dating, and it appears that this footprint, which has been found, is dated over 1.5 million years ago, which if you think about it, that's a long time. That's a long time ago, and it's a human footprint. It's the shoes, or actually the feet were about a size 9, if you look at it in modern terms. And what they've been able to determine is that the whatever they're going to classify the human as being at 1.5 million years ago was standing up. Was not down on all fours. It kind of shows they were able to detect by the way the footprint is in this rock or wherever they actually found it. So this is pretty interesting article. And I have this linked up for you. You can check it out, be in the show notes. But this is some pretty powerful information here. Whereas they, you know, it goes back to prove that early humans were standing up 1.5 million years ago. Now, they think we actually were standing up around 2 million years ago, but this is pretty cool proof from a science perspective. All right, Google has responded to its Gmail outage. They're actually called the Gfail outage, but couple days ago, they had an outage. For many of you, you probably never saw it because it happened prime time in Europe, or GMT minus zero or GMT zero time frame. But the Gmail outage is, you know, caused a lot of concern because this is like the second or third time that they've had some problems. So Google has launched an app status dashboard. So this is pretty cool. The page offers performance information for Google app services. And it goes on to say, unless otherwise noted, this status information applies to consumer services as well as services for organizations using the paid Google apps. So it says to, you know, you can you can basically come there and check anytime you think that there is an outage or an issue. And then they have a little info button that you can push to determine, you know, what the outage was and how long it lasted and who was affected. So this is nice for Google to do this and build some transparency for those that are paying for this service to give them some sense of, you know, reliability is. You know, so this is a big issue for Google right now because they're trying to bring Google apps more into the enterprise, and enterprises don't put up with outages too well. And, you know, there's always times when there's going to be an issue here or there, but Google doesn't, as big as Google is, people don't want to see that type of failure. Okay, let me give you all guys in the side view here, those of you on Ustream, and I hope you enjoy the little side view here. This is what it looks from the side instead of straight on. And for some reason, I've got a little hourglass here over the top of Feed Demon. It's complaining that it's something's going on with the cache. I don't know what's going on. But let me go ahead and get into this next article. Creative Commons. They've introduced what's called CC0. And it's essentially their response to waiving copyrights. There has long, for a very long time, the folks at Creative Commons have essentially been criticized for not having a what they would call a public domain system. So with this release of this CC0 tool, and it was quietly released to the public just recently, this new license is actually, it's not so much a license, but it's a waiver. It's an attempt by Creative Commons to make it more internationally focused and rectify some of the challenges and problems that come up when trying to simply put a piece of work that you create up in the public domain and basically say, hey, here's free public domain access to this application. So I have the link up to this, and this is on the website Plagiarism Today. And talks about how it works and how you would apply this to content that you are creating, you know. But I think what's cool about it is here is that it's going to give people that want to put information in a public domain a way to do it through Creative Commons. And I think this is pretty valuable. We'll see how this moves forward. Of course, all of the content that I create on Geek News Central, all the audio, video content is under a Creative Commons 3.0 license, where all it really requires attribution back to the source. And so that gives everybody information. If you ever want to quote something off the website or link to it or use a part of it, just, you know, just give us credit back through a simple link from your website back to the original material. All right, over on Michael Geist's website, he's a Canadian blogger, and he's he's done some pretty good stuff over the past. But he's following the Canadian three-strike policy. A internet provider called Quebecor, Q-U-E-B-E-C-O-R, Quebecor, has basically said that they're going to recognize the three-strike policy. I think this is the first time that I've seen this happen from a Canadian ISP. Really what it basically boils down to now is if you are a customer of this company and they prove that you are violating copyright, in other words, you're maybe doing something, downloading something, access something that you're not supposed to, and the owner of that content has complained back to the company, it's been proven that you are the actual individual that has done that through their records and so forth, you get three strikes. After three strikes, it's going to terminate you from being a subscriber. Doesn't say anything about you being able to go and sign up with someone else. But if you're like I am here in Hawaii, there's very limited choices in who you can get access and high-speed access to, at least through the internet. So I'd love to hear from our Canadian listeners on letting me know on how this is going to affect you. Are you a customer of this company? What do you feel about this three-strike policy? And what do you think about, you know, the copyright rules are different in Canada than they are in the United States. But it just seems to show, it looks like that more and more American style, how should I say it? You guys are being, you're legislators and you're the folks that do the, you know, produce, create the rules and laws there are becoming more and more affected by United States policy. And this is happening all over the place right now. And it's curious to see it happen. It's too bad, really. But it just goes to show that, you know, the organizations that are basically the equivalent of the RIAA and MPAA in those countries are being very effective in, you know, whacking away little by little and getting things changed. And it won't be too long before I can almost bet that but through the majority of countries, many of us will be facing these three strike rules. So I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with that. It's, you know, three strikes over a lifetime of an account. That's a pretty tough thing, you know. It really, really is. Especially when you download something, it's almost like you're proven, you know, you're proven guilty. It's just they say you did it, and you did it. You know, there's no recourse. So only time will tell how this will end up working out. All right, there was a big, big to do, and it's basically, and it's it happens to it didn't happen to me when I came back from Japan the last time. But if you're traveling internationally outside of the United States and you originate in the United States, you go to another country and you have a laptop or any other device with you, when you return to the United States, you may be asked by customs to essentially let them have a look at what you've got on your hard drive. Now, last year, a gentleman basically started the with a customs said, hey, I want to look at your encrypted information. We think you're carrying, you know, adult material on here. And he had initially started to cooperate with him, but then finally said, hey, I'm going to basically say that doing this would violate his Fifth Amendment rights against him, against self-incrimination, and refused to give the customs official customs immigration official access to the encrypted material. Now, initially, when this went to court, the magistrate judge in this Fifth Amendment encryption case had basically said, yeah, it's within his right to say, no, I don't want to give that up. But now it's been overturned. And this U.S. District Judge William K. Sessions said the man had waived his rights against self-incrimination when he initially cooperated with border agents and noted that the order is not to produce the key, just provide an unencrypted copy. So this guy's going to have to give up the information that custom agents wanted access to. So here's the trick, or not the trick, but it appears to me that if you refuse to cooperate from the very beginning and you claim your, you know, your Fifth Amendment rights, and you have all heard this. I'm, you know, someone had a sworn testimony in Congress. I take the Fifth, you know, and really when you take the Fifth, what that means for those of you that are outside the United States is that what you say can be used against you. And the Fifth Amendment allows you not to incriminate yourself by keeping your mouth shut and refusing to say anything. It's your choice to not say anything to incriminate yourself. At the same point, it's the same type of deal here. He doesn't want custom agents to access his laptop and that or that those encrypted files because he feels he would incriminate himself by giving in by cooperating and giving them the password. So I guess the if you're trying to hide something, the best thing to do is not to cooperate, but just be forewarned. it could get very ugly, and you could have your media essentially locked up, and you'd have to go see a judge and to get your material back and then face whatever else would happen. Monetarily, it would probably be very expensive to hire a lawyer. Just don't be traveling with any material that you don't want the custom agents to see when you come back into the United States. That's for sure. Okay, so, you know, just remember, too, that if you've loaded your computer up with material that may not be appropriate for the host country that you're going to, you may get it on that end as well. You know, if going to Japan, it is absolutely illegal to bring in any type of pornography at all. They will confiscate it, and you can face a very big fine. And so be aware that you may not just be facing United States jurisdiction, but you may be on the outbound. So the key is not to have anything that would get you in trouble on your hard drive. Now, what they've tried to do here is they're trying to crack down on those sick individuals who are carrying materials in their laptops that deal with children and underage people. This is something that we have to, you know, obviously we don't want to see that type of material moving around. But at the same point, they just want to, you know, they want to protect those folks and they want to arrest people that are doing this nasty stuff. And I understand that. But at the same time, just be forewarned, you can be searched when you're coming back. Nothing is really sacred at that point. All right, moving on here. I've got a news article. And is there something on Ustream that doesn't hear audio? What you have to do is many times you'll have to close your browser completely and restart it. Sometimes that's the issue that causes that. But I got a news press release out of the Japan Aerospace Exploration Agency. And this is cool. This is probably the article of the night that I want you all to pay attention to. The Japanese Space Agency has a spacecraft on the moon. Y'all, or actually, it's not on the moon, but orbiting the moon. And it's called Kaguya, K-A-G-U-A-U-Y-A. Of course, my wife would come in here and she'd probably smack me for pronouncing that incorrectly. But that satellite captured moving images of the Earth at the time of they call it a penumbral lunar eclipse. In other words, what happened was that the sun went behind the Earth at the same time. Well, essentially, it was an eclipse from the moon. If you're standing on the moon, you would see an eclipse of the Earth instead of being on Earth and seeing an eclipse of the moon. But this satellite was in a position where it caught this. And pretty cool picture. It really was. Really hard to get. They got some really good ones here. And this happened on February 10th. Where they caught this. So they've got about five or six pictures where you see the sun, just a little bit of an edge behind the Earth, and then goes completely behind the Earth, and then the whole image. So I have this link up in the show notes. You guys can check this out. Pretty good explanation on how they did it with the satellite and the angles involved to make it happen. So it was pretty impressive. And I think you'll look at this, you're like, whoa, that's cool. And it was. It really was. A little bit of news out of the Windows 7 front. And there's some complaints going on by Windows 7 beta testers that they don't think that Microsoft is listening to them. And if you can imagine, how many people do you think has downloaded Windows 7? You know, I downloaded it. I've got it installed here on a test machine. It's awesome. I like it. But I haven't really been sending any replies back to Microsoft, but a lot of people have, by the thousands. And it's even the Microsoft manager that follows this stuff says that they've been receiving, how many did it say, 15 submissions per second, something to that effect. Yeah, Windows 7's automatic feedback system is getting it's getting data back every 15 seconds, not 15 submissions per second. So if you imagine over, you know, as many days as Windows 7 has been out, that's a lot of submissions. So what the Windows 7 team has been focusing on is the, you know, issues that a lot of people are seeing. But people that are sending in very specific advice are not getting any response from Microsoft. So if you're sending information in, all I can say is, and based upon this article that's over on infopackets.com, is that they're getting it. They just have such a high volume. They're lumping stuff together, and it has to build up to a certain criteria level before they can, you know, really respond. It kind of makes sense, you know. They have to filter through, and but they say they are reviewing all of the responses. It just takes a while to get through all this stuff. Imagine the team that would have to do that, reviewing all that material. If it's coming in one every 15 seconds, it's almost virtually impossible for someone to catch up. Hey, I have to give hats off to the folks over at MIT, because if you guys been watching the videos that have been put up on Geek News Central, you probably saw the Schwinn bike the electric powered Schwinn bike that's like $2,500. Well, the brilliant minds at MIT have come up with a really cool electric bike alternative. And really what they do is they modify, they've come up with a device that allows you to modify your own bicycle. It's a electric motor type of thing that is attaches to your current bicycle, and it's modified relatively easy. And so what they say in this article is it can propel a bike and your derriere around for about 25 miles. So it's got a range of 25 miles, and it's going to be available. When they say it's going to be available here, they don't have a time frame, but it appears that in Copenhagen and also down in South Africa, they're already looking into adding it to their public transportation system by 2010. No numbers on cost here yet, but definitely going to be cheaper than buying that whole Schwinn bike. But, you know, you can adapt this to your own bicycle. Pretty cool. So if you're looking to go a little bit more green, look out for the guys at the smart folks at MIT and releasing a new electric motor to attach to your bicycle, your existing bicycle, so you can motor around with a little bit of electric assist. How many of you have got MacBook Airs? Folks over at Engadget are looking for feedback. If you have a MacBook Air that has a hinge defect, they're trying to collect information on this. It appears that Apple is not honoring a repair cycle for these. In other words, honoring a warranty repair request. It appears that a lot of people are having this issue out of normal usage, but Apple is basically turning a blind eye to these issues. So the folks at Engadget are trying to come up with numbers of people that are having problem with a MacBook Air hinge. So I have this article linked up in the show notes, of course. Hey, over in Gizmodo, I have to be jealous because I'm looking at somebody's fabulous office setup. And this guy has to be a programmer because it looks like he's got lines of code. But check this out. He's got not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, but six flat monitors. Now, he's got two of the Big Mac Daddy Apple monitors, the big ones. And then he's got one, two, three, four other monitors that are rotated on their sides. And this is a sight to see. It's absolutely beautiful. All I can think of is, how would I use all that real estate? I could use it. I really could. But it just, how neat this the desk looks. It looks very neat, clean. It's a sight to behold and to see. Anyone that's worth their geek salt will absolutely love the outlook of this. And I would just be, I'd love to see the write-up on how this, how these screens are all integrated together, what type of a video card they're using, if it's coming from more than one machine. It totally blows me away. It really does. So anyway, I have the link up in the show notes to that. I think you guys will enjoy it. But can you imagine having this semicircle, huge semicircle of screens around you? It's just a cool factor. People walk in, they go, oh, wow. And they're going to ask this question, what do you do? I had a neighbor kid ask me that the other day. He came in here and he's like, wow, what do you do? And I just basically said, oh, I do internet radio. And kind of explain it in an easy way. Wow, how do I listen? And I gave him the link to it in the show notes. Okay, got a article here that reviews the 17-inch MacBook, the new MacBook Pro. Pretty good review on that. It lays out what the new MacBook looks like, how it's configured, and pretty good article on that. So I'll have that linked up in the show notes for you. Hey, when are the new Mac Pros coming out? Does anybody know? When are those machines coming out? No one in this audience has been able to give me a hint on when that's coming. I was told, Todd, wait, don't buy the machine. Just wait, there's a new one coming. Well, when's it coming? Do I have to wait to June or July or next year? Or when are they going to do a refresh on that? That's the question I want answered. Some of you that are Mac hounds out there, you guys can find out for me, can't you? Or come up with a close date, maybe give me a hint. All right, over a little bit of information on the Pirate Bay trial, day 9. And this is basically where the folks at the Pirate Bay are striking back with testimony and showing videos. Looks to me like they're doing pretty good with their trial so far. I'd be very curious to see how this thing wraps up and how it turns out. But the defense has had some expert witnesses up. They've shown some videos, shown how torrents work, and show how they don't actually touch the media that is being moved and so forth. So actually had some testimony about how piracy helps the music industry. Of course, I'm sure that went over real well with the prosecution. But anyway, I have this link up to you in the show notes for you. Also, a great article on photo lenses. You know, this is something my wife and I have been looking at. We've got a, what is it, the camera we have? We've got a Canon, oh gosh, it's a Rebel. And we've had it for a couple of years. But we want to take some better pictures with it. We've been looking at lenses, and we've got a couple of them picked out that we want to buy when our budget allows us to do so. But there is a great article on Gizmodo on explaining why lenses are the real key to stunning photos. Talks about the makeup, talks about the differences, talks about glass. So those of you that are not fully up to speed on the different quality of lenses that are out there and what's available, you'll definitely want to check this article out. It's a really good one. I actually sent an instant message to my wife, said, hey, go read this. And she sent me back, wow, thanks for that. And so she's getting schooled up as well. Those of you that may podcast with us over at Blueberry, or actually we may be hosting your content at Blueberry, know that we use a CDN. And the CDN that we've been using up to this point is called Panther Express. Well, I got a notice in the email Tuesday morning from Panther saying, hey, we've been acquired. We've been acquired by CDN Networks. We've merged together. And I really think what the word on the street was, and we kind of knew this before, and we'd actually set up contingencies in case they went out of business, was that they were in financial trouble. And there was some sort of a fire sale. But Panther Express has been consumed by CDN Networks. So we're looking forward to doing business with CDN Networks. We hope we can keep our contract rates in at the same amount that we currently have them at. And hopefully they'll honor those contracts. We will see. But if they don't, we're ready to move somewhere else. Move to another solution that can move bandwidth at the same price. You know, bandwidth is expensive. People just don't realize it. Podcasters have gotten off easy for a long time with these unlimited plans that companies like we offer because the bandwidth is not free. It really, really isn't. Hey, over on The Enquirer at theenquirer.net, they got pictures of a smoking PowerBook. A PowerBook exploded in a London office. You guys see this picture, you're going to be like, wow. And this is another lithium-ion battery. And it just makes me totally freak out to think what would happen if one of these batteries got crazy like this in an airline on a flight. I'm going to tell you, it's not going to be long before somebody puts a ruling in that we're not allowed to travel with batteries anymore. I have no doubt in my mind, after looking at some of these photos and these laptops that have burned up, it's this is bad. This thing exploded. Flame shot 6 feet in the air. I'll have the link up in the show notes for you. Okay. All right. Well, you know, news organizations come and go, especially the ones that are online. But today, Rocky Mountain News, it's a paper that has been published for over 100 years in the Denver area, announced that they're going to publish their final edition tomorrow. And all their people are out of a job. They're shutting it down. So this is a town that has two newspapers. I believe the other one is the Denver Post. So for now, the Denver Post is the only remaining newspaper in Denver. And this company is shut down, and they're closing shop. So I expect to see a lot more of this happen over the next few years. But this Rocky Mountain News was one organization that did not move anything online. But in the article that was written on their website, they basically said that it didn't make sense to do online. And it didn't make sense to cut their staff because they wouldn't be able to report stuff the way they needed to. So they're gone. So anyone in Colorado, love to hear your comments on this. Love to hear anyone's comments as well at geeknews@gmail.com. Do you think this is going to happen to more newspaper companies out there? Do you think this is a trend that's going to continue? Do you think at some point there's actually going to be anyone doing real news? Everyone's going to be, there's going to be a bunch of bloggers left to report the news. Do you think that's going to happen? You know, where do you think this thing's going to go? Over on VentureBeat, hey, Google said hello to Twitter with a stream of ones and zeros. And so there is a Twitter Google account. So all you got to do is twitter.com/Google. And, hey, there's that phone ringing. I told you guys that was coming. So let's see what Andy has to say. Hang on. Hey, Andy.
Hey, I'm here.
All right. Go ahead. I'm actually live right now. So go ahead and knock on the door and Shoko will let you in. And come right on into the office. All right. Well, Andy's here, and probably a good time, too, so that's cool. Anyway, so if you want to follow Twitter, you can do so. And you can do that via Twitter. So kudos to Google for putting up a pretty cool message, too. So I'll let you guys figure that out yourself. If you are an iPhone user, you can import Facebook photos into your iPhone with a new plugin called the Photo Phone Book. So I have this link up to this article over on TechCrunch. Hey, there's a little bit of a news out of Japan. The company called SoftBank, which is a mobile phone company in Japan, is the exclusive distributor of iPhone there. Apparently the iPhone has done so bad in sales that they are going to make the iPhone available for free. You actually give the phone away with a sign-up of a two-year service plan ranging from $62 to $45.60 a month. So it sounds like if you want to get an iPhone in Japan, that's it's going to be pretty cheap to do so. Hey, over in spacetoday.net, the MRO, the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter, has put itself into a safe mode this week after its main computer unexpectedly rebooted. So this is the third time this happened. JPL is going to be examining the MRO and see what's going on and hopefully be able to resume full duties here in the next couple of days. A little bit more information on space news is that there is a March 12th date set for the launch of the shuttle. NASA is tentatively planning to launch Space Shuttle Discovery on STS-119 to the ISS. So it gives them a little more room, a little more time to figure out what's going on with the shuttle, but this is no guarantee that it's actually going to go down. Hey, I do want to talk about a WordCamp. And those of you that are WordPress users, if you've ever been to a WordCamp, you'll know that there's really not a lot at a WordCamp that's revolving around podcasting. But we decided at Raw Voice that we were going to sponsor our first WordCamp. And we've done a WordCamp Denver. WordCamp Denver is a conference that's been created for enthusiasts and users and developers and designers and fans of WordPress. It's going to be happening in the Denver/Boulder area. As the popularity of our plugin PowerPress has continued to grow, we thought that WordCamp would be a great place to embrace the community. We're going to be talking about PowerPress, going to be talking about podcasting and sharing information with the WordPress community in Denver. If you're in the Denver area and you want to go, tickets are still available for the sessions. You're going to have to act quickly here. You can find the information out at denver.wordcamp.org. Hey, the Fairness Doctrine. You guys, if anybody's been watching TV or listening to talk radio, probably been hearing about this. Well, the Senate today adopted a ban on the Fairness Doctrine. They snuck it into a bill that was being voted on where they were trying to give voting rights to giving a House of Representatives seat to a District of Columbia rep. They're basically making a representative seat a legitimate, trying to put in place a representative seat in the District of Columbia, but they snuck that, didn't snuck it in, they put it in that bill. So the Senate, on a vote of 87-11, has passed the amendment to a voting rights bill that is going to essentially say we don't want the Fairness Doctrine to come forth. And there's been a big concern that the Fairness Doctrine would be reenacted We'll see what happens over in the House, because I think they've got other ideas when it comes to the Fairness Doctrine. And we'll see what happens if this actually gets put to rest in the beginning and people can kind of calm down on the terrestrial radio side. How many of you have a Windows Home server? I do. How many of you want a new Windows Home server? I do. Well, there's a eHome Upgrade article over at eHomeUpgrade.com talking about how to sync the content of two Windows Home servers together. This is cool. This is really cool. So give you step-by-step instructions on how to do that. Okay, the FAA is the Federal Aviation Administration is going to be using a crawler type like application to inventory the FAA's sensitive data. They found that they had an intrusion on February 10th. There was a hack at the Federal Aviation Administration that exposed more than 45,000 current and former FAA employees to potential identity theft. So they're going to be going through and looking and see what they actually have that is actually sensitive data and what may have been revealed. So you can find more information about that over at eweek.com. Link will be up in the show notes. I hear Andy and my wife chatting out there, so maybe Andy will make it in here soon. Microsoft reveals 36 changes to Windows 7. This is over on computerworld.com. They're talking about some of the changes it has made to Windows 7 since it issued a public beta more than a month ago. The list is pretty long, pretty impressive. So I'll have that linked up in the show notes. Hey, here's one for those of you that are fans of CBS content. CBS is streaming free TV programming to iPhone users. So CBS Mobile has released TV.com, a free new mobile application that allows iPhone and iPod Touch users to watch full episodes of select CBS shows and other programming over Wi-Fi or 3G mobile networks. Now, here's what I find interesting. The reason the Apple folks did not approve the podcasting application was because it was using the 3G network to stream audio content. And yet, they have approved CBS to have a iPhone application that allows you to stream TV over your 3G network. What a double standard. How much did CBS pay Apple to get that in there? That's the question. I don't get it. So, yeah, you'll be able to stream TV over your iPhone. Can't stream podcasts, but you can stream TV. Hello, hello, hello. I don't get it. All right, last article of the night. And let me look at the time. Oh, we're doing good on time. The ASUS EEPC 1000HE has a new chip in it, and it is a powerhouse. Wired has got a good article on this. The performance is like 7% higher than any of the other netbooks out there. It's got better video, HD. You basically can stream or play HD on it now. Lots of stuff going on here. You know, this is just a little bit of an upgrade to those netbooks, making them a little bit more usable when it comes to video and stuff. So I don't know if Andy is being shy and doesn't want to come in here or what, but I'm going to continue right down the road and get the show wrapped up here. If he doesn't, he'll hang out and, hey, Andy! I don't know if he's going to come in or not. Come on in. Oh, You're getting introduced to everybody.
Yeah, and the rabbit.
Okay, and the rabbit. So Anna showed you the rabbit. So come on in and sit down. Pick up that mic right there. It's not hot yet. So, oh, no one can see you. Hey, everybody. This is Andy the cameraman from very cold Chicago. How are you tonight, Andy?
Oh, I'm doing great.
Yeah, hold it a little closer. Don't be scared of the mic.
I'm a little shy, but now I'm feeling more comfortable. Yeah.
So, do I live out in the boonies?
Totally.
But nice drive out here, yeah?
Yeah, it was gorgeous.
You can't see nothing. It's dark right now.
Yeah, all the lights are burnt out, too, coming over.
Oh, coming up the hill?
Uh-huh.
I think that's from people stealing the copper. All the meth addicts are pulling the copper out of the, you know, out of the ground. And then selling the copper to, you know, to the local recycling places. Yeah,
I used my iPhone to get over here, actually.
Oh, you did use your iPhone on T-Mobile, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so it gave you good directions? You ever GPS over here?
Yeah, well, I don't have the GPS. I have the Generation 1, and it just kept updating, and I found it. No problems.
Yeah, all right. Let me go ahead and get you in frame there so everyone on Ustream can say hello to Andy. And so first day really in Hawaii, your first full day. What's your impression so far?
Well, I had a nice day. It's colder than I thought. I mean,
it's winter here.
That's true.
But the wind's blowing really hard right now.
Mm-hmm. I had to sum it up. There's, I had no idea there's so many Japanese people.
Hey, this is a melting pot of the Pacific.
Yeah, yeah. More Japanese than any other Asian group, you know?
Yeah. And you're in a tourist area too.
Uh-huh.
But you get outside of the tourist zone and you get into some of the non-tourist zones, then the mix becomes, you know, much more diverse.
Yeah, but it's pretty nice. I mean, it seems like a nice place to live.
So you're a super geek. And what are some of the geek tools that you're using right now?
Well, the iPhone for one.
Well, I know you're using the iPhone, but you were turning me on to some. We were chatting last night on IRC or on Skype or something, and you were telling me about some apps you're using.
Oh,
what
yeah.
are you using?
Well, you know, there's so many things I have, but I only use a few of them. I use this thing called Zinbee. That's a really cool application because I was using Yahoo Mail, which is terrible compared to Gmail. But I have so many people that contact me on my Yahoo, and I couldn't really get rid of it. So then I found this application called Zinbee, Zenbe, and it's really neat. It imports all your contacts, and it basically downloads all your email and puts it into a Gmail type of format. So I use that every day. It's really, really pretty neat.
And then use Evernote as well,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I love this Evernote, and it works with the iPhone perfectly too. So I can just snap a picture, and then it goes into my iPhone, and I really don't have to remember anything. You know, you take a picture, it's right there on your phone, or you can add a note to it and a tag. And a neat thing is I just bought this iFi card, which is an SD card that has a every SD card has wireless capabilities. So
right.
So the second you put it into your camera, the camera becomes Wi-Fi. And that is in conjunction with Evernote. So basically, I take a picture, and right then, it goes to my Evernote account.
So it's coming from your camera into the iPhone, and then iPhone sends it to your Evernote account.
It doesn't even go to the iPhone. It just goes straight to the Evernote
account. Oh, that's cool. How's it interconnected to your – is it connected via Bluetooth to your iPhone or what?
No, it's supposed to use like – thousands of Wi-Fi spots
all
over the country.
So it looks for an open Wi-Fi spot.
Right,
when it
right.
connects up, it just blasts it out.
Yeah, and you can say goodbye to scanning. I mean, if there's any document you want, you just take a picture of it, and
right.
it's on your computer. And let me tell you one more cool thing about it is, in terms of recognizing your applications, you don't have to tag it. It recognizes the type. So basically, if there's a picture, you take it, and it sees a word like Hawaii, and you can just type in Hawaii. Even if it's typed written, or if it's written in script, it can recognize it.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to check that one out. So what do you think about Mission Control here?
High tech.
There's a lot of stuff in here, isn't there?
More than I thought there was going to be.
Yeah.
I mean, there's...
Most people can't see the stuff behind the scenes. Oh, you got...
And this is important, too. I mean... With everything that you have, I just found that can.
Yeah,
these are some other things. That's when you know you're working hard, because you're getting dust and you're getting headaches.
Right, so there's Advil here, and then he was referring to, it's like one of those big monster bottles, 500. Actually, I don't know. I don't actually take that. I don't know why that's in here. I think my daughter brought that in the other night after I hurt my back. But then the dust off, of course, is the spray for the... You guys, every geek knows what that is, right? And of course, all the stuff underneath, people can't even see all that stuff.
Oh, a lot of wires.
Yeah, way too much. Fire hazard, probably. Probably shouldn't say that on the show, should I?
No.
Well, anyway, we were just actually wrapping up the regular content for the night. And when you showed up, I wanted to be able to knock this out so you and I had some time to spend together and yak. And the Ustream crew is hanging out. We have a small group on Ustream tonight. And it's usually a pretty small group, just a few people. You know, as much as you're a night owl, you ought to come hang out on Tuesdays and Fridays with me, and And actually, it would be, you know, Tuesday morning your time, my time that I do this thing live. But sometimes you're working those midnight hours. Mm-hmm. All right, let me go ahead here and I'll get through the actual emails that came in. We don't have any voicemails tonight. So 619-342-7365 is the actual number, folks, that you can call in on. Geeknews@gmail.com is the email address. And I'm looking here at the last date that I need to go back to. And I think we've got an email here from Nir out of Israel. He's talking about U.S. broadband. He basically puts me up a link to a TechDirt article that talked about U.S. being number one in broadband. Do you believe that?
That's ridiculous.
Obviously, I don't know what measure they use because...
Look at Korea.
Look at Japan.
Yeah, Japan doesn't even use computers; they use cell phones. It's so fast.
But you know, even when I was at my my wife's parents' home, and her sister had broadband there, I was getting like something ridiculous up. Mm-hmm. It was huge, huge pipe, and she's telling me I pay $45 a month for it or whatever. And I was just like, I was so jealous. We do not. Maybe I guess it's an overall thing on how we're fast, but I still don't believe we're the fastest near. And I want to thank Yitz, Greg, Dale, Jim, Simon. Those were the five that put in submissions for the Pogo Plug. And, of course, Dale was our winner tonight again, Dale out of Lodi, California. And the answer to the question was, essentially during the webcast, during the demo, our demonstrator had a problem with his home network and was couldn't show us the actual Pogo Plug setup page. So that was... something we're actually going to go back and work with him and actually do that. So Dale, everyone got the answer right. Got an email from Ron. He said, "Hey Todd, Kodak kept lowering the price of their 7.6-inch wireless OLED frame." He says, "Now it's $776, and we got a $9 off coupon." A $9 off coupon for a 776 price tag. He says, "I'm guessing they're finding it difficult to actually sell at such a price, or maybe the price of the OLED panel is dropping fast." I don't know. But Ron, I think what the story there is you know, you ought to ask them for a little bigger coupon. You know, that $9 really is an incentive there. Now, if it was $90, then that might be something to consider. But just a few emails tonight, and we're here at the end of the show. And again, I leave for Japan tomorrow morning. Don't know what my broadband situation is going to be.
Let me interrupt.
Oh, what were you going to say?
What is this OLED frame? Why doesn't he just use his computer and get pictures going on it?
Well, they're trying to sell him one of these.
Oh, and they give him 1% off.
Yeah, well, it's not even a percent. It's a little over a percent. Mm-hmm. 1% off a $776 price. So,
I see.
Yeah. So he just wanted to basically kind of do a quick little jab at these folks. And this is one of the Kodak frames. I tell you, you saw those OLED displays at CES. Oh, they're nice, aren't they?
Incredible.
You know, I'd love to have one sitting right here on the desk. But boy, oh boy, the price tag is like, what, that small one was like $2,400 or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the picture on those things, if you guys haven't seen one of these yet, you need to make a point to try to look at one. The image is more real than life. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, definitely.
It's just the depth of colors is just – you can't see that. Just, you know, in this, if you had this – I don't know how they do it, but it's just stuff is brighter and
– and the blacks are perfect.
Oh, it's
that's,
just
– that's the thing. You get the deep, deep black.
Yeah, deep black. But someday they'll come down to a price where us poor folks can afford to buy something. Yeah, that 776 price, I think it has to come down to 176, I think is where it needs to be at, Ron. So, all right, everybody, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline 619-342-7365, 619-342-7365. The next show, of course, from the land of the rising sun. And anyway, I'm looking forward to my trip over there. Hopefully my back keeps me from being having it be too painful to be over there. But the doc loaded me up with some good meds, so I have to show you what he gave me. He gave me a pretty good stack of stuff, so I think I got enough to carry me through for the 12 days. But anyway, we'll see you guys. See you guys in Okinawa, actually from Okinawa. So next time, Annie, thanks for hanging out with me.
My pleasure.
Hey, everyone, aloha.